here at Co-op Financial Services Think 19 in Miami, Florida. And look who's in the studio lounge, Mr. Paul Love, Chief Information Security Officer at Co-op.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Doing great, great. All so right. The weather is starting to clear up a little bit, so it's nice outside.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I've been in here the whole time.
Oh, well, so you'll see it soon.
Yeah. Soon.
Yeah.
So how's the conference going for you, just to kind of kick things off here?
Oh, really good. We've had some really good speakers, very dynamic, and you know, one of the people I've wanted to kind of see my entire life, Seth Godin, who's actually been a hero of mine, I just saw him speak a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
One of his books actually changed my life in my career.
Which one?
Free Prize Inside and Purple Cow. Mm-hmm. And he talked a little bit about those.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just changed how I thought from a security perspective, but just even as a person, like, you know, if you're always taking that extra step and surprising and delighting the customers, or not surprising necessarily, but delighting but, you know, in a good way,
yeah.
It can really change your interactions and change your career progression. And also taking that home, right? Like, try to surprise my wife every so often with flowers, or, you know, try to do something. So it's interesting, the corollaries between the two, but, you know, by taking care of that part of our relationships, personal and with our customers. And, you know, he talked a lot about doing that. So it was, for me, it was getting to see the person you followed for 17 years, and it was really good. But it really ties into the co-op message of, what can we do to extend our relationships to help our customers and help them be better?
Mm-hmm. And he puts out a blog post every day.
Every day. I don't know how
every
he does
day.
It, and I read it every day.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. I mean, they're short quips, but they're meaningful. And, you know, he makes a complex message very simple, which is incredibly hard to do.
Yeah.
Right. So it was. That to me was probably the highlight, but we have some other great speakers.
Gosh.
And
even,
you know,
your panels, my gosh, panels tomorrow are going to be off the charts.
Yeah, so. A very good conference. Every year it just keeps getting better and better.
So. You guys do such a great job. All right, hey, we're going to talk about data privacy.
Yes.
And you're actually, speaking of panels, data privacy panel. You're moderating it, right?
Yes, I'm moderating one on Thursday around data privacy. We have some great speakers, or great panelists. One is Todd Link from DePaco. I have Scott Steiner, who works on our cybersecurity operations, who has some privacy background, but also has a great perspective on technology and privacy. And then Matt McGuire, who's our chief data officer, who's thinking about, you know, how do we use all this data we have, but make sure that it's private, that we keep our privacy commitments as well as security commitments. So you'll get a lot of very good perspectives from a lot of different areas, right?
Right.
It's not just a one, you know, singular group of people thinking one way, a lot of different perspectives.
Well, I think your panel is probably going to be like a standing room only, because this is such a hot topic. It's been a hot topic
Well, GDPR, right? You have the GDPR regulations and all these regulations, right? I can throw a bunch of acronyms at you, but there's more and more concern about privacy. Facebook is starting to see that, other big companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're starting to see that their customers are, they want services from these companies, but they also have an expectation around privacy and so forth. So, you know, it's kind of a dichotomy. Use my information in a meaningful way, but also keep it private.
Right, right.
And privacy is also different expectations for everybody, right? Like, I may think that my address and my phone number are private, whereas other people may not, right? So it's a very interesting field to be in, and all the considerations you have to take.
But I'm finding that my 18-year-old daughter doesn't care less where her phone number or any type of information goes.
Whereas you and I would be
like
I'm keeping that thing secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that.
But there's different expectations even generationally, right? That some people are much more willing to share information. So it's striking that balance. And right now, legislation is trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting California putting out rules, New York putting out rules, the European Union putting out rules.
Yeah.
All these different organizations. And now, you know, a lot of industry wants just a common U.S. you know,
standard.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
Because it's extremely difficult to comply with individual states or, you know, whatever.
I think that's where credit unions and banks come together. It's like, hey, can we just get some sort of industry standard here?
Yeah, so, that we all can agree on and that meets the customer expectations and it kind of sets the threshold for where we are.
Exactly.
And should be.
Exactly. So are you finding that people are caring more about their privacy or less about their privacy just based on what you just said?
There's an expectation and a desire for more privacy, but there's also, again, that expectation that you will continuously provide me more services in a way that's not creepy, right? And in fact,
they
talked about that a little bit today. Like, I want you to know about when to offer me credit and when to offer me things, but I don't want you to know that, you know, I have a medical condition, right? So, you know, making sure that you honor that privacy commitment to your customer. And a lot of people, I think, are being more and more aware of it. So like information security, right? When I first started in the field, most people didn't care about it, didn't think about it. But after all the different things in the news, people started to care more and more.
Yeah.
And now it's a big issue, right? You hear board members across, you know, industries, right? Not even just financial services talking about, hey, what's our security posture? Do we have the right things in place? But now, you know, we're at that point. I think privacy is starting to merge more and more. You know, in fact, there's very few privacy professionals that just focused on privacy just even 5 years ago, and it continues to expand more and more. So, yeah, I think people care about it, but again, it's trying to figure out what is privacy to you, and how do we meet that expectation?
And are, and kind of segueing from that question is like, are we going to? Is there going to be some sort of exhaustion point to where like? Like, all right, you can have my social. I don't care anymore. I just want to live. You know, it's like,
well, and I mean,
care about the data breach anymore.
Well, like, some people, you know, when there's those things out there where it says, "Give me your password," right? YouTube videos, and then people just give you their password. So there's always going to be a little bit of a difference. But I think that privacy is going to continue to expand as more information becomes available and people can see what's being done with that information. There's going to be a higher expectation for companies to you know, really hold that information.
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head. When they see what they do with that information, that's when, okay, I care.
Yeah.
I care about my privacy.
Or how it affects, or I mean, how it affects things externally from just your own life. Like, if you get enough information, you can actually help steer legislation and things like that. So people will start really more and more take it very seriously.
Yeah, good point, good point. Let's see here. So how, speaking of legislation, how do evolving regulations impact information security professionals like yourself?
So privacy and information security are very closely aligned and tightly aligned. They like to say that you can't have privacy without security, right? You have to have security in order to have privacy, but privacy is its own discipline as well, because I care, from a security perspective, you care about protecting the information and who has access. With privacy, it's how people use that information. So they align well together, but they're a little bit different. So it's forcing information security professionals to start thinking a little bit differently about how data is handled, and that data movement within an organization, if, as appropriate, is, that's okay. You need to have the appropriate security controls around it. But yeah, it's creating you know, a lot of good discussion inside of companies, healthy discussions on, we have all this data, how do we manage it and use it effectively while still maintaining our commitments to our
customers. Is that kind of like putting one arm behind your back type of thing?
Sometimes it's self-imposed, right? Because you know, you want to you want to make sure that you're keeping that commitment, but you also, you want to use that data. So there's this nice tension that you have, just like security, right? I tell people sometimes it's very easy to secure a company out of business. Right, meaning that you can over-secure something, right? But life and business is about risk, and you have to be able to take appropriate risks while still protecting, just like seatbelts, right? Like, if you think about how scary driving is, you know, it's actually very scary if you hear all the stories, but if you have a seatbelt and airbags and things like that, you know, you feel more comfortable about it. And that's what security and privacy are like, right? It's
like
having
that.
Those seatbelts and airbags.
So what advice do you have for credit unions trying to keep up from the regulatory standpoint?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because there's so many different ones, and it's really understanding the landscape and the scope of their regulatory requirements, your regulatory, contractual, and legal requirements, and working with a team that can go pull that information, create requirements out of that, and make sure that your organization meets that bar. Right, so think of it like state and federal laws, right? If you were thinking about it, state laws may be a little bit different than federal laws, so you go and find, okay, the federal law is more stringent, so why don't I just go ahead and apply to the comply with the federal law, and then I'll be complying with the state law. So it's really understand your regulatory, legal, and contractual, you know, your landscape, and implementing the what we call the highest minimum sometimes, right? Identify those things and comply with it. That's a very big thing. That's a lot of work, but by investing that time, you know, you're really making sure that you meet a good baseline of security and privacy.
Okay. So what's the best way for credit unions to keep tabs on their data these days?
Yeah, it's and
as far
I would
as permission and access and all that type of
oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah, so there's the understand where your data is. Mm-hmm. Again, that's easy to say, but it's almost think of it like you understand where all the liquor in your house is, right? You don't just have liquor randomly. Well, most people probably don't have liquor stashed under the bed and all their places, right? You keep it in a contained area. So yeah. You know, understand where all the data is.
Okay.
And make sure that you once you understand that, really understand who has access and who has permissions and why,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, should a clerk in you know payroll somewhere have access to customer PII? Not necessarily, right? If they don't do it for their day-to-day job. So really understanding where your data is and controlling and managing and understanding why people have access, that's the best thing you can do. But that's a very big, what I just described mm-hmm. in a couple sentences is yeah. a very big project, but invest the time in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean you have to spend $5 million on a piece of technology. That can be as simple as an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
Start somewhere, 1%
yeah, yeah.
is better than
yeah.
0%.
Yeah.
So get that started, and then eventually a year later, you'll have good understanding of your data and your access.
Okay, good to know, sir. Let's switch to the conference itself. Mm-hmm. Any speaker besides Seth, your hero?
Yes, my hero.
Who else stands out for you?
All of them, I like all of the speakers. It's some of the breakouts and then also hearing Todd talk a little bit about where we want to go. Being an employee of Co-op,
yeah,
I'm actually absolutely very interested. But, you know, Gene Chatsky,
yeah,
seeing,
awesome.
I mean, just there's such an array of people who are thinking of things in interesting ways. And, you know, it's hard for me to pick other than Seth because Seth is super easy just because I followed the guy my entire career. But there's not been one speaker that's like, oh gosh, I'm going to go ahead and skip that. I'm actively making sure that I get to each one.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, they're
right on.
Just amazing group of unique thinkers.
Yeah, I like how everything seems to build on each other.
Yeah.
It seems there's a theme, there's a story being told over these 3 or 4 days,
yeah.
and everything kind of complements each other, and
yeah.
it kind of culminates on the last day. So, all right, Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time as always.